Turning your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. We'll read the chapter in its entirety as we are encouraged here to call the Sabbath a delight. Just as you're turning there in your Bibles, a bit of a review of what we have covered so far. We are going through the Heidelberg Catechism's third section, which is a rule of gratitude and contains the Ten Commandments and prayer. And the Ten Commandments are given to us as God's blood-bought, redeemed people, not to earn God's favor, but because he has graciously taken the initiative in looking down on us in our sin and misery and rescued us by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then calls us to love him by keeping his commandments. And we have been going through them in a very specific way, and that is looking at how they present to us a world and life view, how we are to apply all of the Bible to all of life, or how we are to see all of life through the lenses of God's Word. And we have come to the fourth commandment. And I'm just going to read the catechism question and answer on the fourth commandment. What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. And second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Now, we began a number of weeks ago by looking at Exodus chapter 20 specifically and noted there that the Lord says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, etc., etc. And we noted that God is asserting his lordship over time, that he instructs us as to how we are to use the days of the week. And we looked at that somewhat. Then the next time we looked at the fact that the fourth commandment actually requires work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and we considered that. Then we wanted to consider whether or not the Sabbath as a fourth commandment, one of the big ten as it were, continues for the Christian church or in the new covenant, or are there only nine commandments? And demonstrated to you from Scripture that the fourth commandment, no less than the first, second, third, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth, continues to be binding on Christians or an obligation for Christians in the Christian church or the new covenant. Then last time we looked at Matthew chapter 12 and the discussion or controversy that Jesus had with the Pharisees about what was lawful and what was not lawful on the Sabbath, which brings us today to Isaiah 58. The last main section on the Sabbath. But having said that, I remind you that no other one of the Ten Commandments is mentioned more in the Bible than the Sabbath. No other one of the Ten Commandments is mentioned more in the Bible than the Ten Commandments. So let's read Isaiah 58 together and look to God's Word. Cry aloud, beginning in verse 1, cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet to declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure, and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel, and to fight, and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Just two major points this morning. First of all, the point of the text. The point of the text, and secondly, the profit or the benefits of calling the Sabbath a delight. Well, as I've already mentioned, no other one of the Ten Commandments is mentioned more in the Bible, and hence it is important. A number of things as we consider what God has to tell us in this text. You'll note that there is no list of do's and don'ts with respect to the Sabbath year. There is no list of do's and don'ts. The principal idea in the fourth commandment is that you are not to work, but that you are to rest instead. That's the principal idea. Note also, if you will, in verse 13, the word your pleasure occurs twice there, all right? Here the contrast is not between things that are pleasant and things that are unpleasant, but rather between doing God's will and doing your will that conflicts with his will. And if you will, one of the reasons why we read the entire chapter here is that a text without a context is nothing but a pretext. We need to understand it in the broader context of what Isaiah, or the Lord through Isaiah, is conveying to his people. Your pleasure is mentioned twice in verse 13, but if you were paying attention, it's the same word that's mentioned in verse 3. Look back there, if you will. In the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. It's very clear when you look at the entirety of the chapter what is being referred to in the fasting or seeking pleasure that Israel was engaged in is the oppression of the poor. Various means by which the poor, the afflicted, the needy amongst the people of God are being oppressed by the others, if you will, even to the point of doing it on God's Sabbath day. So when we get to verse 13, it says, not seeking your own pleasure. It's not about pleasing or unpleasing. It's about don't oppress my people. Don't afflict my people. Don't burden my people with these things, especially on my day, the Sabbath day. Rather, you are to call the Sabbath a delight. And God instructs his people with respect to that as well. The Sabbath, I mentioned to you again, is a matter of mercy, not oppression. It's a matter of delight, not oppression. And that's why this was one of the main controversies that Jesus had with the Pharisees when you get to the New Testament, the religious leaders, is that they, we looked at last time, had saddled God's people with 39 different categories of work, with hundreds of commands, endless commands in each of those categories about what could and couldn't be done on the Sabbath day. And Jesus gets into a controversy for them, saying, don't you know that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? It is a matter of mercy. It is not a matter of oppressing my people, picking up on what Isaiah says here. Note also then the if-then structure of these concluding verses, verse 13 and verse 14, all right? If you call the Sabbath a delight, turn from this pleasure of oppressing my people. If you do that, then, verse 14, you shall take delight in the Lord, and I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Shorthand, the point is, God is saying to his people, you are oppressing my people, and yet you come to worship me. You are oppressing my people, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and yet you come and worship me, and you expect that I'm going to hear you. You expect that I'm going to bless you. You expect that I'm going to favor you. And God says, no, 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 turn from that and call the Sabbath a delight. And if you do that, then these blessings will be yours. If you're a very good student of the Bible, you'll recognize the blessings of verse 14 are the messianic blessings which God's people were to experience in the days of the Messiah. And that brings us to the second point. What is the profit of calling the Sabbath a delight? Or what are the blessings of Sabbath? I want to be very encouraging here because in the majority of Christian churches that I'm familiar with, when it comes to Sabbath observance or Sabbath obligation, it tends to be more a matter of oppression than mercy. It tends to be more a matter of what you can't do, what you shouldn't do, do's and don'ts, endless lists, rather than blessing. And I want to encourage you here by pointing out that God has promised blessings to attend his people when they call the Sabbath a delight. So I hope that these blessings encourage you. I have 9 of them. I'm sure there are many more, but there are 9 for our purpose this morning. First of all, in verse 14, then you shall take delight in the Lord. You shall take delight in the Lord. The first blessing is simply rejoicing, and rejoicing in the Lord. Joy. Joy is something that is to characterize calling the Sabbath a delight. Now, this is very consistent with what we hear in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which most of us are familiar with, and that is that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We focus a lot on what it means to glorify God and not very much on what it means to enjoy him. But here God says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, this will be your blessing. You will take delight in the Lord. You will have joy in the Lord. Why? Why? Because you'll recall that the Sabbath was a sign of God's delivering his people from bondage and slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt. We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Exodus 20, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth that all that was in them, but on the 7th day he rested. He refers to creation. When you get to Deuteronomy 5 in the second giving of the 10 Commandments, the rationale is different, remember. The rationale is, for you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, you were to remember the Sabbath day. God says, remember, I saved you. Remember who I am and what I did for you. Remember that you were not worthy, you were not deserving. It was simply because I loved you and for no other reason that I saved you, I rescued you. And that's why you're to remember this day. And then we get to Isaiah 58, and God says, call the Sabbath a delight that you might have joy. Joy in knowing who you are, in knowing what I have done for you, freeing you from sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and one day the presence of sin when we shall enjoy an eternal Sabbath together for all eternity, that you are right with God, that you have been justified, that you have been declared righteous in God's sight. So all this rejoicing, God says, is the first blessing. Look at the text on the next blessing. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I was at a youth conference in July, and one of the activities that they engaged in on Wednesday of that week was a game which many of us might remember from our childhood. It was called King of the Hill. And if you've ever played King of the Hill, you are referring to it. And what God says, I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will give you victory. I will make you like the king on the hill, the king of the hill. Victory is the second blessing that God promises. And then third, feasting. In verse 14, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Perhaps you'll recall what the catechism said specifically. It says, on this festive day of rest. Here, it's not to be a day of oppression. It's not to be a day of do's and don'ts. It's to be a day of feasting, a day of festival, a day of celebratory feasting. Heaven, of course, that eternal Sabbath is portrayed as a feast. And as I mentioned last week, Jonathan, in extending gratitude to the Contreras for our end of August barbecue two weeks ago, said it was a foretaste of heaven. And boy, if heaven exceeds what happened 2 weeks ago, we're going to be doing pretty good. So feasting. We ought to remember this. This is what God wants us to do in observing the Sabbath. One author comments, he says, whenever God's people celebrate these great events, they play. Compare the dancing accompanying the bringing of the ark to Jerusalem, 2 Samuel 6, the emphasis in the Psalms on rejoicing before God, the singing and dancing following the deliverance from Egypt in Exodus 15, the rejoicing in the New Testament, feasting and dancing over one sinner that's been found, the prodigal son, Luke 15, and Jesus in the Gospels. The eschatological passage of Scripture are full of feasting and song. How can the Sabbath, which celebrates creation, redemption, and consummation, be any different? So it's important to keep in mind that by its very nature, the Sabbath is a feast, not a fast. It's a time of abundance, not deprivation. It should be a delight, a time of play and joy. Hence the blessings mentioned in verse 14 for God's people who call the Sabbath a delight. Allow me to mention a number of others, though. I mentioned the primary point of the Sabbath commandment is rest. It's the primary purpose of the fourth commandment. It is not to cease doing anything. In the history of the Christian church, and matter of fact, in some churches I'm aware of and familiar with, children were raised observing Sunday by going home after church, not changing their clothes, sitting there in their Sunday best with their hands on their laps until dinner was ready, and then afterwards waiting for evening service. That's not the cessation or the Shabbat, the Sabbath rest that is being talked about. And it's not just worship either. It's not as if you were to spend the whole day in worship. But it's a blessing of rest. Why? Because your mind and your body break down over the course of a week. Most of us know this, all right? And it was not that long ago in our country where people worked 7 days a week, where they had no rest. But we know that our body and our mind needs a rest. As somebody that has experienced burnout, if you go 110 miles an hour, 24/7, 365, you're going to burn out. We were not created to live like that. People have nervous breakdowns. People work 24/7 and endlessly. And God says, no, silly, that's not how I created you. You need a day to rest. You need a day to refresh and renew. Look with me at just a couple of passages quickly. Look at Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. You should really do a word study sometime. It would be beneficial for personal or family devotions on Sabbath. Just look up every passage in the Bible where Sabbath is mentioned. Very interesting, the dimensions of the Sabbath that are in Scripture. Exodus 23 and verse 12. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien, fourth commandments binding on non-Christians, all right? And notice, may be refreshed. May be refreshed. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, right? It's not a matter of oppression. It's a matter of rest and refreshment. Look at Exodus 31. Exodus 31, verse 17. The Sabbath was a sign of God's covenant. And we're told this in verse 17. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It's a day of mercy. It's a day of rest. It's a day of refreshment. Now, listen to me, particularly those of you that are students, all right? Students, perhaps more than workers, are tempted to work on Sunday. Why? Because the rest of us are governed by a 9-to-5 work week, or maybe 6 days if we own our own business or whatever. There are people here who work 6 days a week, not seven, but listen to me. To take one day and to rest, to take one day and to devote it, setting it aside and calling it a delight on which you don't work, the work that you engage in the other days of the week, that takes faith. It takes faith. It takes faith that God will provide for you in 6 days that you need not work 7 days. It takes faith to do that. It takes one to trust in God for prosperity and for success, to trust in God with respect to your success in your schoolwork. Can I encourage you with just two stories? My friend Don Cope, now gone to be with the Lord, owned a chain of supermarkets in Western Michigan where I used to live. And during the time that we lived in Michigan, stores went from being closed on Sunday to being open, particularly supermarkets. He refused to open his stores on Sunday. The Grand Rapids Press came to him and interviewed him and said, "Mr. Cope, as the owner of a large chain of supermarkets, with all the other supermarket chains in the Grand Rapids area that open on Sunday, how can you afford to remain competitive by closing one day a week? All the other stores are doing business on 7 days." Mr. Cope's answer was instructive. He said, "We make more money in 6 days than those stores make in 7 days, because I believe that God honors those who honor him." I'll tell you a story about a student. One of my professors when I was in seminary, John Skilton, I believe that Mr. Sigward also had him as a professor of New Testament. Mr. Skilton was a student at Penn. That's where you went, right, Jonathan? Right. Tough school, right? Right? Academically rigorous? Perhaps more so about 75 years ago, right, than now. Tough school, Jonathan agrees. Tough school. Dr. Skilton used to go to the library 7 days a week and do his studies. He was coming out of the library one Sunday, and he was confronted by a fellow student who said to him, "Aren't you a Christian?" Dr. Skilton said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Then why are you working on Sunday? Shouldn't you be observing the Sabbath?" Dr. Skilton was very convicted by that. And from that point on, he resolved not to do any schoolwork on Sunday and to work, do his schoolwork only 6 days a week. I said, "Dr. Skilton, how did that go?" He said, "My grades were never higher than when I did that, because the Lord honors those who honor him." But listen, that takes faith. Do you have faith to call the Sabbath a delight, to trust the Lord, to depend on the Lord, to rely on the Lord, to prosper you, to give you success? Or do you think it's all up to you? You see, that's the difference. All right, fifthly, time with God and with God's people is a blessing of the Sabbath. Time with God and with God's people. We associate with worship. We meet twice on a Sunday. We call upon the Lord. We meet with him. He comes by his Holy Spirit. He raises us up to heaven itself. We are in the presence of the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. We spend time with God's people. I know that for many people here, one of the delights of Sunday is to be with other Christians and to fellowship. That's why people don't want to leave downstairs when we have bagels and coffee. It's why even when bagels and coffee is done, people want to hang out together. They want to go to Central Park. They want to go here. They want to go there. They want to be together. That's a blessing of this day. It's a means that God uses to refresh and to renew you. And if I can mention something more specifically, how many Christians in my ministry as a pastor of almost 30 years have said to me, you know, Pastor, I resolved to read the Bible this year, but I got behind. And I got so far behind, I just gave up. You have one whole day to sit and catch up on the week's reading that you've gotten behind in. As family, this is an opportunity to be together as a family around the table, to read the Bible, to pray together, to inquire into the lives of your spouse or into the lives of your children, which you're too busy to do. We're all nuts. Oh, the other 6 days a week, you have one day. And God says, spend it. Spend it with God. Spend it with people. Spend it with family, where you have family devotions, where you can catechize your children. You can go over Sunday school lessons, whatever it is. Sixthly, blessing to others. Being a blessing to others. Remember that whenever God blesses us as his people, we are to be a blessing to others. One of the purposes we looked at in Matthew chapter 12 last week was mercy, extending mercy to others, to call the Sabbath a delight and to take that opportunity to be a blessing to other people, whether they're Christians or not. Maybe it's visiting a nursing home. Maybe it's visiting some of the senior members of the congregation. Maybe it's visiting somebody in the hospital. Some extending mercy to others and being a blessing to other people. Seventhly, witness. The blessing of calling the Sabbath a delight is a visible testimony to the world without ever saying a word that you serve another master and you march to the beat of a different drummer. Because when people see that you don't work on Sunday, that you won't work on Sunday, that you don't do school work on Sunday, that you spend your time being rested, refreshed with God's people, worship one thing or the other, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Because Jesus Christ died for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. And this is what I do for him. It's a powerful witness and something that we could learn from the Jewish people. I live, as I often tell you, in a community of synagogues and Jews, and they would never, ever think of working on the Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And it is obvious to anybody that lives amongst Jewish people that they are a separate, a distinct people. They're marching to the beat of a different drummer. Now, they're wrong about the Sabbath, of course. But apart from that, it is countercultural to call the Sabbath a delight. It's countercultural. And remember, our motto here at Messiah's is making a difference by being different. Here is one incredibly visible way of testifying to your difference from the world without ever saying a word, calling the Sabbath a delight. Eighthly, God honors those who honor him. God honors those who honor him. You remember the movie Chariots of Fire? How many people saw that movie? Chariots of Fire. Great movie, right? Eric Liddell was an Olympic runner. And when it came time for him to find out what race he was going to run in, his specialty, it was on Sunday. And he was a Scots Presbyterian Sabbatarian. And he said, I need to honor the Lord. And he told the Olympic Committee, I will not run on Sunday. They gave him another race, which wasn't his specialty, and he won that anyway. So it's not the blessing of being honored by God, because God honors those who honor him. Ninthly and lastly, call the Sabbath a delight because it is a reminder of the gospel. It's a reminder of the gospel. Remember, we looked at this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Every time you call the Sabbath a delight, you're acknowledging who God is and what he has done in grace. But more specifically, one author put it this way. The key phrase in this command is, remember that you were slaves and that the Lord your God brought you out of there. He notes, as slaves in Egypt for over 400 years, the Israelites worked 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-grandparents existed for only one reason, to work. They never stopped. They never rested. They never delighted. Their existence was defined as non-persons whose only purpose was to work and produce. But now, after the Exodus, Pharaoh's oppression over God's people had been broken, and they were given a new identity. Their worth and their value is no longer based on what they do. It is based on who they are, sons and daughters upon whom the living God has set his love and grace. Listen to me. That's vitally and critically important. Because you and I are constantly tempted to think that God accepts us based on our performance, based on what you do. And truth be known, far too many of us find it difficult to stop and rest and just be with God. The quietness, the meditation, the contemplation of not doing for God, but just being with him. I speak to you as one who has been there and done that. Do you see what the Sabbath reminds you of? It reminds you of your identity, who you are. You're a child of the living God, accepted, not because of your performance, your work, but because of who you are. Why did God love you? For no other reason that he loved you. This author concludes, through this weekly practice, we defy every influence that defines us, either by our leadership or our productivity. We publicly proclaim to the world that we are not slaves, but free men and women purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Call the Sabbath a delight. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us in these things to comprehend them, to apprehend them, and to integrate them into our lives. We look to you for your help and for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.